Now, column C may or may not apply to many of you, but if you're an operating foundation, this is important to complete. Column C is where you'll calculate your adjusted net income, and this is just for those organizations that have income from charitable activities. So for operating foundations, it's required. If you're a non-operating foundation, but you do have a charitable activity that is generating some type of income, so for instance, if you have seminars and you're charging fees, or if you're, you know, selling books, or anything else that might be generating income, you would report that in column C with the corresponding expenses. So for operating foundations, you'll want to make sure that you pick up all the appropriate items, including tax-exempt interest, which is not reported in column B. But there are going to be some overlaps of what you report in column B, and you'll see some of those same items in column C, such as your interest and dividends and short-term capital gains. Not long-term capital gains, but your short-term capital gains get reported in column C. Also, if you have gross proceeds from the sale of property that were used for exempt purposes, to the extent that the original purchase was treated as a qualifying distribution originally, if you sold that item, then the proceeds from the sale would be treated as income in column C as well. And then expenses are limited to the corresponding income. Any excess of expenses can be treated as a column D qualifying distribution. So for instance, if you have an activity such as, say, you're running a camp for youth, and your income is, you know, $100,000, and your expenses are $110,000. You would report $100,000 worth of expenses in column C, and that extra $10,000 can be treated as qualifying distribution in column D. Now, column D, as Jorge mentioned, is on the cash basis, and it's also important to remember that column D are not deductions per se. We're not deducting them against anything. Column D are our qualifying distributions, and this is what we use when we determine what the amount of distributions and whether we're meeting our minimum distribution requirement. So this is all based on cash basis, and these are all can also include administrative expenses that are reasonable and necessary for the conduct of your charitable activity, in addition to your grants paid.
And this is, again, a column that does get highly scrutinized, right? They do look at your admin expenses versus your grants if you're a strictly grant-making, non-operating foundation. This is one where we spend a lot of time trying to explain. Later on, you'll see there's a part where you explain your direct charitable activities that we actually did more than just make grants, which gets listed here. And for operating foundations, everything will get listed here. So it's possible that you're engaged in direct charitable activity, operating a museum, but you also might make grants. That'll all get captured to the extent you disperse those funds in that reporting year. You do also report on grants that were approved in that year but not paid out. So that's why your column A and your column D might differ actually quite a lot. And so just be mindful that this is cash basis only. You're only reporting things that you distributed in the year you're reporting.
And a couple other things to remember about column D for your grants paid is that the grants paid should not be shown net of any prior year recoveries. So to the extent that you have returned grants, you want to make sure that that's not netted in column D. There are a few different ways that you can show that the recovered amount. You can treat it as other income on line 11, or you can show it as an adjustment to fund balance in part 3. So there's a couple different ways, but the most important thing is, and the instructions specifically state, not to show it net in column D on line 25. Also, property distributions, to the extent that you're making grants of property, those would be shown at fair market value. So to the extent that you're, you know, granting either, whether it's stock or other gifts of property, if you're showing it at fair market value, and whatever you're taking off your balance sheet is at cost, there may be a difference, and that difference will be reported in Part 3 as an adjustment to fund balance.
There's a bullet about set-asides there. I don't think that's very common because you have to request approval from the IRS to be able to use set-asides, which means you've set aside a certain amount, you will distribute later on. You can actually use that in this. You actually report that in column D, even though that's not distributed in that year, but it's very rare that a foundation will go and ask the IRS for permission to use set-asides to meet their qualifying distribution requirement.
I think we've touched on these.
I think so. I think we're ahead of the game here.
I think we're good here. Okay.
I will say that the column B, the figures there, you could back your way into saying if certain your netting expenses, you're showing your income, that will maybe highlight to the IRS that you should be filing a 990-T, right? You'll have your investment income that shows up, and if it's substantial, then you should also be thinking, okay, there's another additional return that is likely coming from this foundation.
And so that's another good point about the 990-T that I didn't mention is, to the extent that you're filing a 990-T, any income and expenses that you report on the 990-T are not reported in column B. So we don't want to pay both your excise tax and income tax on the same income, okay? So